You to find the outline that's in your bulletin as you follow along as we share together today in worship. We're going back to Ephesians again, chapter 2. God's Word has a whole lot to say to us in a lot of ways, and so our desire is to keep on learning what He wants us to hear from His Word. I'm going to go to the end of the chapter this morning as we talk about Jesus talks about building His church. Does that include us? Us. That's us, right? We're the people of God, and He's called us to serve Him, and we get to be a part of that. I count it a privilege to be a part of the body of Christ. It's a wonder. It's a gift. So we think about that. Let me read Ephesians chapter 2. I'll go up to verse 19, although I'll focus on the other verses, but this together. You've been talking about in this passage about Jesus bringing us together as one, uniting us, tearing down the middle wall between us and all those things. And we have an access to God through this one Holy Spirit. Is that one Holy Spirit present? Yes. So we have access to Holy God today because of His Spirit within us. So in verse 19 of chapter 2, "So then you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're a fellow citizen with the saints and of God's household." What a wonderful gift. "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." Now, I'll think about some of those aspects of that as we cooperate with Jesus as He builds His church. Jesus is going to build His kingdom, right? He's going to build His church. I want to be a part of that. I want to cooperate with Him in the process. And so as I think about the truths that are in this passage of Scripture, that He is going to do what He said. So I want to be in on what He's up to by yielding to Him and by cooperating with Him. So as you think about Jesus building His church, first thing is on your outline, if you've gotten it out, is to build on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Talk about the people of God being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. When we think about those, what are we talking about? Apostles and prophets. Well, we know that there are 12 Jesus chose to follow Him. One of them turned out to be not too good, but the rest of them were, and then they chose one to take His place. But the apostles. Now, not only were there the 12, was there another apostle, at least one more? Paul said he saw Jesus, and he is counted as one of those apostles. How much are we dependent on the apostle Paul for information about the Christian life? A whole lot. 13 of the New Testament books we consider Paul wrote. So as an apostle of the Lord, he's one of them. So when we talk about our life, our church, our relationship being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, there are prophets in the New Testament, there are prophets in the Old Testament, and I want to include both. Some only include New Testament, some commentaries about that. We're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Let me look at some scriptures first, and then we'll think about that connection. In writing, it says, "This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles." In this part of God's Word, He challenged them to remember. He said, "I want to stir up your mind by way of remembrance." Do you ever have to be stirred up in your mind? Ever have to? You know, we have to renew our things. I'm glad that God refreshes our mind at times. But He said, "I want you to remember the words spoken beforehand by who? The holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord spoken by your apostles." So what's He talking about? What today, how do we anchor or how do we get in on those words that were spoken by the apostles and the prophets? How do we discover what they said? If we're supposed to follow them and be built on them, where do we find that? Well, it's in the Word, in Scripture, right? It's not a current apostle, but those that were there. So we're saying that if I want a solid life, if I want to be a part of what God's doing in His kingdom and in His church, I need to build on the Word. I don't have to convince probably most of you that we need to be in the Word, studying it for ourselves, checking it out for ourselves. Jim reminds people that I keep saying, you better check out what I say in the Scriptures. But I'm not just saying that to say it. You need to always check out what you hear from any preacher or any teacher in the Word yourself. I don't expect you to take my word for it just because I said it. Do you ever take somebody's word? Do you ever read a commentary and just say, well, that's right? Not necessarily. That's one person's opinion. You need to check it out in the Word yourself. And I challenge you to be in the Word. Because the more you're in the Word, the more you're aware when something comes up that doesn't fit with the Word. Maybe you don't remember the chapter and verse, but the more I study and build my life on it, and I get anchored in the Word, studying it, understanding it, reading it, when something comes up that doesn't sound right, I may not know a chapter and verse, but something says, wait a minute, that don't fit with what I understand. And then go back to the Word and to challenge, to study in the Word. So everything we do and teach and believe and practice needs to come out of Scripture. And if it doesn't, we don't need to be doing it. Now, I know it's saying a lot, but we need to ask ourselves, as a body of believers, is what we're doing based on Scripture? Or is it just something we dreamed up? It's something we need. I believe that's the way we need to evaluate that. The next verse is familiar to you, but it says all Scripture. Does that mean all? That means all of it, from Genesis to Revelation. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate equipped for every good work. All Scripture. I'm grateful to know that the book we call the Bible is anchored in the Word of God, is the Word of God, anchored by God directing it and putting it together. Did you know that the Bible is the most proven book of history? There are more records of biblical writings than any other document. We take ancient documents like Homer's Iliad and Odyssey and all those stuff, and we say, well, there's copies of it. Did you know there's more copies of Scriptures, more parts of the Bible available in ancient manuscripts than any other book in the world? There's over 2,500, I think, copies of just the New Testament, parts of it. It's more accurate. Now, I believe it not because of that, but because it's God's Word. But it's good to know that there's it's authentic as by the fact of history itself as well. So this book, all Scripture, is given by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training, and righteousness. So that's why I say you check it out for yourself in the Word. What does it say? What does God say? Now, when you check it out in the Word, it means you're going to look at more than one part of the Word. Because there are other Scriptures that relate. I hope you have a Bible and you have references on the side, or you take a concordance and study it. You just read, go see, what does the Bible say about that? And you discover a lot of things. So, I want to build on the foundation. Everything I do and everything I teach, everything I believe and everything I practice needs to come out of this book. And if it's not, I need to reevaluate that and alter it till it comes out of the truth of the Scriptures, that I have a foundation for it in the Word. The last verse that's on that section says, for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God, which performs its work in you who believe. You notice what he said? They accepted it not as the words of men, but as the Word of God, God's Word, God's truth. I hope that when you read this book, you're saying, this is God talking to me. God used human beings to write it, and I recognize that. But He's the one who directed what they wrote. I don't believe they just sat down and said, now I'm going to write some Bible today. I think that as they wrote, God put into their heart and mind what He wanted them to write. Now, some believe He even told them which words to write, and I don't argue that too much, but He at least directed the writing of the words And he put into this book what he wants us to do. So I need to receive it as the Word of God. So, everything that I do, I need to ask myself, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Is it the last word? Is it the last word for you? Now, I can say it, I believe it, but until you and I get into it and begin to check our own personal life by what we are doing based on what the Bible says, then I'm not really applying it like I ought to. I need to check it out for myself to say, am I accepting this as the Word of God? Now, if God's saying it, do I need to believe it? If God's saying it, do I need to put it into practice? It's His Word. He's talking to us. I believe with all my heart. God says, here, I want you to know what how to live. And He tells me what God says. I guess I'm a little pet peeved. Can I have pet peeves? I'm concerned when today in a lot of Christian writing, and I recognize, I think, what they're doing. And as I said, this may be just me. But it often says, Paul wrote, Paul said, John said, so-and-so said. I recognize God used those people to write the book. But I believe we need to be careful because it's not what John said. It's not what Paul said. It's what God said through Paul, through John to us. And I need to be careful that I need to read this book and say, Paul didn't write just to write. God said it through him. I think it makes a difference. If Paul said it's one thing, if God said it, it's another. So, as I said, that may just be me. But I encourage us to build on the foundation of the Word. When will you ever get to the place that you do not need to be reading and studying the Bible? That's exactly right. Sometimes we get lazy. If we've been a Christian a long time, and I'm guilty of that sometimes. I've been a Christian a long time. Well, I think it for granted I know it all. Well, maybe you don't. Well, I do. And then I do go back and start reading. I say, that says what? I don't remember seeing that in there before. And there's always something new in understanding and application of the Scriptures. I would have been reading the Old Testament. Interesting, I forgot about how old Noah was before he started building the ark. He's 500 years old. I forgot about that. You see, that's not a major issue, but still it's important. God put it in there. So I want to be in the Word. So I want to build on the foundation of the apostles and prophets recorded in the Scriptures. God took pains to write it to us and give it to us in many ways that we have today. And in lots of translations anymore. I guess if you really want to do it, you learn to read in Hebrew and Greek. But I never learned to do that very well. But we want to be in the Word. Now, how strongly do I want to be in the Word? I pray that God will give us a hunger for the Word. I know Al talked about having a hunger for the Word. In a book called The Wonders of the World, The Word of God by Robert Sommer, he tells about a man who was injured in an explosion which disfigured his face, took off his hands, and left him pretty well disfigured. His eyesight was gone. He was a new Christian, but he wanted to read the Bible, but he was disappointed he couldn't do it, he said. Then he heard about a lady in England who read the Bible by taking Braille and putting it across her lips. Well, he tried that, but he discovered that the nerve endings in his lips no longer could feel it. But one day as he's trying to do that, his tongue touched the Braille, the little bumps on the Braille. He could feel it. The recording at the time of this book was written, that I told about, he had read through the Bible four times. With his tongue. How hungry am I from the Word? So I'm saying I want to be building on this foundation. I want to be anchoring my life. Second area is, I surrender to Jesus, the cornerstone. Because the focus of the apostles and prophets and the focus of this book is Jesus. Would you agree with that? From beginning to end, Jesus is seen in that. From the very beginning, I don't have to convince you that, I don't think. From the very beginning, what did God say about creation? Let us. Who's the us? It's Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Let us make word. So, and then throughout, I've been noticing more as I read through. When the Lord appeared to Abraham, who was that? I wonder who that person was. It's probably Jesus in a human form. And you read through the Bible and you see Jesus. He's the center of it all, is it not? So he's the cornerstone. Describes him as a cornerstone. The cornerstone meant that that everything takes its direction off of it. I don't know much about building, but I do know that if you get the corner crooked, then everything else is crooked. This cornerstone was set exactly in position so that everything else that grew away from that when you built, and you went straight with it, everything would turn out correct and in right proportion. I remember the importance of that because when we started the house I live in, some of you know Al Pate, and we reset our forms at least four times before we got them square. Because he wanted to be sure they were straight. Because he knew that if it didn't, everything else was going to be off. So what he's saying to us is, Jesus Christ has to be the center of our life. Did the apostles and prophets always point to Jesus? To understanding, loving, knowing, understanding him, seeking him, discovering him. It says in the scripture passage, and coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone. And he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, the same became the very stone, cornerstone. Jesus, the living stone. Not a one that's lifeless, but a living stone. And everything is built on a precious cornerstone. I lay in Zion a choice stone. Does it matter what you believe about Jesus? When it comes to Christian faith and it talks about any kind of religious activity or whatever, how much importance is it about what you believe about Jesus? If you're off on Jesus, guess what? You're off on everything else. If you're right on who Jesus is, then you'll be on the right track for everything else. And there are people today who tell us all kinds of things about Jesus being a good man or a prophet or whatever. But he is the Son of God. He was born of a virgin. He did come and live on this earth and teach us. He did die on the cross. He was resurrected. He has ascended and he's coming back. Jesus, the perfect Son of God. And I need to keep my focus and my heart and my mind as I read through all these scriptures. What I'm trying to discover is, what does Jesus want me to do? How does Jesus want me to live? What did Jesus desire for me? Because I'm convinced that the foundation of the apostles and the prophets were pointing us to Him. How we can follow Him. How we can love Him. How we can serve Him. How we can be what He wants us to be. Because they still point, all these things, and when you read Ephesians and other passages, it's still pointing to Jesus. He's the key. He's the corner. Because the only way you and I will ever get into heaven is Jesus. We can be good. We can go to services. We can do a lot of good stuff. But when it gets to heaven, the only key to get us into heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. And knowing I've been born again of His Spirit and He lives in me and I belong to Him. He's the only way. And I need to be saying, anchoring my life on this cornerstone. Everything in my life needs to line up with Him and a view with who He is, what He says, what He's taught, and what the Bible has for me. So, A good place to begin all that is to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John more than once. It has a lot about Jesus. Who he is, what he taught, what he wanted. And I've got a lot of learning to do yet. So, he is a precious living stone. That is, he's still active. The other passage on the other side of your notes related to this says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another's building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it, for no man can lay a foundation on the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now here is Jesus is called the foundation. Either way, but only he saw what he said. The foundation is Jesus. No other foundation. No other place to build. It has to begin with Jesus. So if you're going to live for Christ and you're going to go to heaven, you need to know you belong to Jesus now and you're trying to follow Jesus now. Because he's the key. No other foundation but Jesus. So I need to be careful. Are you building on the foundation? Are you building on Jesus? Are you anchoring your life on what he said, what he desires? I need to ask myself that question. Am I doing so? Jesus. So, if I'm going to cooperate with being built up as a body of Christ, I need to be on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, which points us to the cornerstone, who is Jesus Christ as Lord and Master. My goal and our goal as a body of Christ is to listen to him. Is he really the head of our church? We say he is, but how do I know he is? In practical terms, he's head only if I listen to him. He's still the head, but if it's going to operate right, I need to be listening to what he's saying as through the Spirit and through the Word and putting it into practice in my life and trust him to be the head of the church. He is. He's that way, but I want to be in tune with him. So the third thing is, I want to yield to God's continuing shaping. He talked about built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Now, let's know what he said. We're being what? Fitted together. In fact, there's so much about this, I'm probably going to come back to it next week. I don't want to, right now, try to cover it all. Yield to God's continuing shaping. Yield to God's continuing shaping. He talked about it growing. If it's growing, guess what? It's changing. Things are happening to us. We're learning. We're discovering. So I want to say, God, I want to be involved in this kingdom shaping. It says, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on a new self who's being renewed to the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. You are being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created us, to the image of God and the image of Jesus. I'm growing. How many of you are satisfied with where you are in your Christian walk? You could say, okay, I'm finished, I can quit. I hope none of us are. I hope we're saying, God, I like what you've done, but there's a whole lot more you need to do in my life. There are places I need you to work in, and there are changes that you need to make in my life. Because I want you to keep on shaping me. What is the ultimate goal of a Christian as far as our lifestyle? What is the ultimate standard? Yes. It isn't Billy Graham. It isn't some other outstanding Christian who are wonderful people. But Jesus. When I measure my life beside the life of Jesus, I find there's a lot of room to grow yet. A lot of developing to grow yet. A lot of understanding of the Word yet. A lot of the qualities of Jesus that really need to be functioning in me better than they're doing right now. I want to be growing. I want to be growing. I want to be growing. This continued shaping of God until I look like Him. The other verse that's on that says, with speaking truth and love, we're to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. He talks about I want to grow up in all aspects of my life. Some areas of our life are pretty good, but there are other areas we need improvement on, right? Maybe our family life's pretty good, but maybe our relationship with our neighbors isn't. Or maybe our financial life is pretty good, but our attitude is judgmental and critical. We need to change. Or whatever. So I'm asking him to help us, to keep us in all aspects of my life. I mentioned it before, but you know, sometimes I go through the day or I get involved in a project I'm trying to do around the house. You know, I'm fixing something. And I'm fixing it. And when I get through to the end of the day, I realize I haven't even talked to Jesus about it. I've been doing it all on my own. Do I need to change that? Do I need to say, Lord, I need to fix this. Help me do that. And I talk to him about how to do it. And just praising that he's there. That's a simple thing, perhaps. But I think that's a change that I need to make in my life. So I'm more conscious of him and his presence in every activity of our life. Because is he there all the time? Whatever I'm doing, he's there. So I need to acknowledge and be aware of that. So that's an area of my own personal life. I need to be growing. So that all aspects of my life, I'm going up into him. I'm listening to him. By the way, does Jesus know how to fix a faucet? Does he know how to fix an automobile? He can show you things. I know he does because he showed me and I think he showed some of you the same thing. Sometimes I go into bed worrying about something, trying to figure something out and wake up the next morning and all of a sudden he goes, oh, that's God showing you what to do. He even takes care of those things. So I want to grow up in all aspects to him. They were held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. I won't deal a whole lot more with this probably next week, but I'll just think about it for a minute. You guess what he's saying? The body, which is 1 Corinthians 12 talks about and Romans 12 talks about, is us. But for there to be a body, you got to have the parts. And 1 Corinthians 12 talks about, you can't say, well, I'm all a tongue or I'm all a foot or I don't need the rest of you. That's what this song about, and I'm going to deal with that perhaps more fully. But think about it. We're held together by what every joint supplies, going to the proper working of each individual part, because a body to grow, build itself up in love. I need you. You need each other. If we're going to be what God wants us to be, this scripture says that I need to yield to his shaping. And part of that means I need to learn how to get along with all the rest of the parts in the body. Now, if we're honest, do sometimes we don't really like some of the parts of the body? Just sometimes, some people just sort of get under our skin. What am I going to do about that? If they're part of the body, do I need to ask God to change my mind, my attitude about them? If they're believers, if they're part of the joints and they're an essential part of it, I need to receive those whom God put together in the body, in this body and ultimately in the whole body of Christ. Because we need what they supply. On the screen a while ago, when under talking about the Church of One Foundation, did you notice the background had a bunch of rocks and some bricks by it? But you notice those rocks? No two of them are alike. But they made a beautiful wall. None of us are alike. Aren't you glad for the variety? I am. I'm glad not everybody's like me. We need each other. And so, as he shapes us, he's shaping us to learn how to serve one another, to get along with one another, to receive one another, to share what God's doing through us together. So he said, we're growing, being fitted together for the Lord. You realize the church isn't for us. We are not just for ourselves. The body of Christ is for not me, but for all the rest of the people, and ultimately for the people outside us who need Jesus. Because we represent Jesus to the world in the way we are Jesus to the world. So I want to yield His shaping to whatever part of the body as He grows us together and receive it with joy how He's doing that. Trust Him. The last thing that's related to that says, I want to live as a holy temple in the Lord. Live as a holy temple in the Lord. Because He said He's building this all together unto a holy temple in the Lord. Being fitted together as dwelling of God in the Spirit. Two aspects of that I want to think about for a minute. Well, a few minutes. Because I said a minute, you think I'm through, and I'm not. The first verse says, do you not know that you are a temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? The other verse says, or what agreement has a temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them, walk among them, and I will be their God. They shall be my people. That last verse is a quote from the Old Testament. Part of it is, I am, you are. If you're a Christian, you're the temple. You're the church house, if you will, of God. Your body, your life, your character. I don't know if that affects your thinking or not, but are there things you try to do when you're in the house of God? Are there certain attitudes and actions you do because you're in God's house? Usually. But I'm in God's house all the time. He lives in me. So those actions and attitudes that I'm doing need to affect everything I do all the time, not just when I'm in a place of worship on Sunday. Because I'm in the house of God all the time. And as I think about that, every place I go, Jesus goes. Everything I read, He reads. Everything I watch, He watches. Every action I take, He's there. Is that true? He lives in us. And He's going to be there forever. Does that alter how I behave when I realize I am a temple of God? You as a believer are the temple of God. God said in the passage, He said, I'll dwell in them, walk among them. They'll be my God and my people. That is, they'll behave like my people. And I want to do that. So let me suggest some areas where that would take place. On the bottom of your notes, first of all, in my personal life. In my personal life. I pray that God would make each of us in our day-to-day living holy people. Holy people doesn't mean boring people, okay? Sometimes you think about if I'm holy, I mean I can't enjoy life. I'm tired. I'm bored. No. Would you say Paul was ever bored? I don't think so. Was he a holy man? Yeah. You think Jesus was ever bored? No. You think Abraham or some of the other guys were ever bored? No. See, when you walk with Jesus, a holy life is a good life. It's a quality life. It's a life you can be glad you had. And you can get you come to the end of the day and say, God, I thank you. So in my personal life, I want to demonstrate the character of Jesus as much as possible. Be as holy as I can. Now, do we do that perfectly? No. Can we grow in it, though? Yes, we can learn to do it better. We can learn to yield more clearly, more fully to Him. We are a temple of God. So in my personal life, I recognize I'm a temple of God. God lives in me. And so I want to honor the one who lives in me in every action I take, everything I do, read, say, watch, whatever. Because I represent the King, the Holy One. So in my personal life, secondly, in relationship to other Christians. In relationship to other Christians, we together are also the temple of God. When He said, I'll dwell in them and walk among them, did He also suggest that means all of us together? So when we come to the house of God, it isn't so much the building that is holy, but is you and I together who belong to a holy God that makes this place holy. And how I behave in relationship to the rest of you should be governed by the fact that I belong to a holy God and we're a holy gathering in the name of Jesus, by the power of Jesus. And all of our conduct and all of our actions as a church group, I want to say, God, help me to honor you in what I do and what I say and what I think and how I behave toward the other members of the body. Does that affect why you come here? I hope you come here to meet with a holy God, with people who belong to God, in a holy place to meet the holy God and have your lives changed because you're together as a holy body of Jesus, which we are. We all are. We together are. Not only are we holy individually, but we're the holy people of God, trying to do things God's way, to fulfill God's mission and God's message for the world as a people. And so I want to come and say, God, help me in relationship to other Christians to recognize we're a holy temple. That should affect everything we teach, every Sunday school class, every activity, every business meeting, every committee, whatever. We're the people. We're holy people. Where God lives. And we say, God, help us to follow, carry through with that. The last thing I suggest is I want to be a holy in worship. The holy temple in worship. Why did I put down worship? What's one of the purposes of the temple? Isn't it not to worship? It's to come and adore the living God. It's the purpose of the temple in the Old Testament was to offer sacrifices and come and say, worship the living God, ask God to forgive them of their sins and restore relationship and honor Him. As a temple of God, a part of what I want to do is to worship Him together and individually. Do you have to be here to worship God? Can you worship God in your house? Can you worship God in your vehicle? Don't close your eyes, of course, but can you worship God as a family? Yeah. But as a temple of God, as a place, as I thought about the temple, we're a holy temple in the Lord where God lives. I want to make sure that I'm worshiping Him. Now, what all is involved in worship? Well, often we think about songs. Sometimes we think about preaching. Sometimes we think about giving. Sometimes we think about other things. But is worship also what I'm doing? Can I worship God as I wash dishes? Can I worship God as I rake pine needles? Can I be worshiping God when I'm doing whatever projects I'm doing? And so as a people of God, a holy people of God, I want to be involved in worshiping Him. Yes, I want to be in the Word. I want to be in prayer. I want to be in music and all those things. But also I want to be adoring Him in the way I act. So that when God looks at me, He says, I like what you're doing. You're honoring me by the way you act. You're worshiping me with your life in the lifestyle you're living. And when we do that, I think other people are going to want in on what they see. Because when they really see who Jesus is, they want Him. So as you think about that passage, I want to cooperate with Jesus as He's building His church to be sure I'm on the foundation, the apostles and prophets, to be sure I'm anchored in the cornerstone and my life's being governed by it. Be sure that I'm yielding to God's continuing shaping, understanding it's going to be an ongoing thing, and to recognize I'm a holy temple and you're a holy temple together so that we honor the living God. Now, in order to get in all of that, how do you come in on all that? You got to come. The cornerstone is who? Jesus. So if you want in on all that we're talking about, you have to start with Jesus. Receive Him as your Savior and Lord. Commit your life to follow Him and begin the journey. So if you've never done that, that's where you need to start. You can be a part of all this by faith in Jesus Christ, who gave His life for you, died on the cross, rose again, ascended and going to heaven, and He's coming back. By faith in Him, you can know. You can get in on this wonderful life that God's talking about. As believers, which most of us are, I need to ask myself, how am I doing? How am I yielding? Is there places He needs to change me? That I need to let Him change and cooperate with Him? Are there places I need to be more holy? That's all that's between you and God, has to answer that question. But he does know how to talk to you, doesn't he? He knows how to tell you, this needs to be changed and this needs to be changed. He does it because he loves us. So my prayer is that today we'll say yes to whatever it is he's saying in our heart and life. Because I want to be a cooperative person as Jesus builds his church. I want to be in on it to the fullest extent possible. Let's bow together.